Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. A South Dakota lawmaker is accusing Congressman Dusty Johnson of intimidation. Meanwhile, Pennington County Sheriff wants to be removed from a lawsuit that challenges South Dakota's protest laws. It's time to bring in the Dakota political junkies. Joining us from Madison is John Hunter, publisher of the Madison Daily Leader. Welcome, John.
Thanks, Lori. I'm glad to be here.
Also with us from Sioux Falls is Jonathan Ellis, investigative reporter with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. Welcome back, Jonathan.
Thanks, Lori.
Let's start with this conversation about Congressman Dusty Johnson and State Representative Skylar Borglum, who is a Republican from Rapid City, and she issued a news release detailing a conversation that she had with Congressman Johnson. Jonathan Ellis, you want to summarize what the news release is claiming?
Well, it's claiming that Dusty Johnson, at a Lawrence County Lincoln Day dinner over the weekend, ambushed her. Basically told her that if she plans to primary Senator Rounds, that life's going to get rough for her. It's very odd. Certainly, in the Rapid City Journal, Dusty Johnson, said that he thought they were just having a friendly conversation. And it's very odd for a South Dakota lawmaker to have a press secretary, which Representative Borglum has apparently, and to be sending out these kinds of press releases. It's a very strange chapter here. And if she is running for, she's denied that she's running for anything right now, but if she is running for something, this is kind of an odd way to start that process.
Hmm. So Dusty Johnson told the Rapid City Journal that he had the conversation. He told her he could not support her if she challenges Rounds, but that it was, in his words, friendly advice, friendly counsel, and a friendly conversation. John Hunter, what do you make of this?
Well, you know, it's hard for those of us who weren't in on the conversation to make any conclusions. But I agree with Jonathan. It is odd in the fact that there's this kind of accusatory tone. I mean, we have no idea, and it's possible that at least that each of them have a completely different perception of what really happened. That they that both of them are saying exactly what they thought happened, but. It's an uncomfortable thing for everyone, and I'm trying to put it in a bigger context. Is this, you know, is accusing someone else of wrongdoing a path to getting somewhere better? I don't know. I don't see any benefits to anyone, really.
Right, and she has said, again, according to the, you know, Seth Tupper article in the Rapid City Journal, that she has not confirmed or announced any run for higher office. I'm not even thinking about it. But this also has to do with money and fundraising and her... Yeah, so Jonathan, talk a little bit about that, because there's a sense that she feels she's been locked out of raising money and that she's being blocked from anything in the future.
Yeah, that's I think one of the accusations she made in the press release, saying that the Rounds people were already trying to block her from accessing money from donors. It's an interesting accusation, and she seems to be taking if in fact she is going to be running for a federal office, a higher office, she seems to be taking a page maneuvering to be to the right of what she, the Republican establishment here in South Dakota, which would include Dusty Johnson and Senator Rounds. So it's an interesting maneuvering. Certainly it's not unusual for politicians to talk to donors and ask them to, support them and support them alone. That's campaigning 101. So if Rounds people are taking this seriously and kind of trying to shore up their donors, which incidentally they probably need to do because they haven't raised a whole lot of money, that's not unusual in politics.
Does this impact her ability to raise money for her own state legislative election, re-election campaign?
Well, I mean, you don't need a ton of money. She's an incumbent. She won in November. She had the highest vote total, I think, in her district of the four candidates running. She shouldn't need a lot of money to run for a legislative district. So I don't think that that's a big deal.
She needs to pay a communications director.
No, that's true. Who has one of those, right? We should all get one.
You know, she is. John Hunter, she also has formed a political action committee called Women in Politics. And this gets, again, to another bigger conversation about, you know, women in leadership and this freshman class of lawmakers and peer trying to figure out, okay, what's the future look like and how do we raise money to support other women? And, of course, the use of, you know, the word intimidation maybe would indicate that there's, you know, some uncertainty about how those conversations behind the scenes should be handled.
Oh, you're right, Lori. I think that's there's part of that, too, and I think I've been thinking too. If you're trying to gain publicity for yourself or for your cause, there are times when kind of making accusations or going public with something would help in that effect. You know, you talk about her ability to raise money for either a current or future kind of thing. Is, you know, the old Hollywood thing of any publicity is good, even bad publicity is good for your cause. But and again, if you'd hope that you wouldn't, in order to help the women in South Dakota politics succeed, it wouldn't have to be necessarily some sort of nasty accusation that that furthered your cause. I think you want to, as best you can, indicate all the great benefits of electing women or whatever the
does that assume, though, that it's not true? Does that assume, though, that she's making a nasty accusation when she could just be holding people in power accountable to how they talk to female candidates, how they talk to all candidates, really?
That is possible. I understand. And I don't know. And again, we don't know what that conversation was like, whether right. It was. And they may very well have different perceptions, and Jonathan, I think, maybe said that's maybe 101, and other people may think this is an awful thing, and it shouldn't be like this. And so,
what's the way to move forward?
We're going
to
tape record these things next time, then we'll know.
Well, what's the way to move forward, Jonathan Ellis? Because you know, something happened that you know made her uncomfortable, and so what happens next? Sort of. Make sure that the right kinds of conversations are being had in a respectful way.
I mean, I don't know if this was a misunderstanding or what the deal was. I mean, you know, I think Dusty told Seth that, you know, they'd even exchanged some friendly text messages after this conversation. So, yeah, I don't know. I know of two of the people who who were involved in this, both Representative Johnson and Will Mortensen, a lobbyist who's been involved in Paul. I mean, I don't, in knowing these two guys, I just don't ever, I don't see them as they're portrayed here. I mean, I've known them for years in some cases, and it's just the way that they're portrayed in this press release are not the people that I know.
All right, we will leave that there. Let's talk about the pipeline and this legislation that is aimed at reducing riot boosting, in quotation marks, that's what it's being called. ACLU is suing over the state's protest laws, and Sheriff Kevin Tome from Pennington County says the Sheriff's Department really has no business being named in that kind of lawsuit. John Hunter, why not?
Well, he didn't write the law. I think would be his first idea with that. But I think when you create these lawsuits, the protocol is to name everyone possible that could be and cast a wide net. Not sure exactly where that's going to go or who would respond and so forth. So I think it's probably more a legal maneuver than actually targeting, at least as I understand it, and I'm not an expert in that kind of thing, but I have seen things like this in similar nature where you attach a lot of different people that are kind of only partly related to this, and so I understand removing that, and I think it's, I mean, again, I'm not a lawyer, but it seems like a legitimate claim.
Yeah. Sheriffs of counties are often named in lawsuits by all kinds of people. It's kind of rare for them to come out and publicly say, take me off, this isn't my fight. Jonathan Ellis, do you read anything into Sheriff Tomes even bothering with saying his county and, you know, his position should not be targeted?
Well, I think, anytime somebody is sued, they are looking for ways to get dismissed from a lawsuit early on in the lawsuit. And if they have to go through, for reasons to dismissals early on, or if they have to go through, discovery process, and then typically they'll file for summary judgment to get it, removed that way. So I don't think it's unusual for him to, to ask to be removed. I'm kind of curious, and I guess I haven't checked since, it's years, since 1965 I haven't checked where this is the path of this pipeline is supposed to be going, and presumably I guess it's going to go through Bennington County, Is that why the sheriff was named? But so it's not unusual for him to want to be removed from the lawsuit, and I think he has, I'm not a lawyer, but I think he's got a decent argument.
I did reach out to the ACLU via email asking if they could provide any clarification on that intent and didn't hear back from them by showtime. So we'll bring you that information when we do get it. All right, let's talk a little bit about winter in South Dakota, Jonathan Ellis, and whether or not your electric car can make it. Speaking of lawsuits, tell us what you found out.
Well, hey, General Motors is asking to be dismissed.
They don't want to be named, yeah.
They don't want to be in this lawsuit. No, it's just kind of a funny little thing. Yeah. Funny little story. But, a Turner County, South Dakota man had filed a lawsuit in Turner County. I had not seen it because I don't check records there, but it shows up in federal court because General Motors, they're sued. They're the maker of the Chevy Volt and Bolt. And this gentleman had purchased one of these in late 2017, and it doesn't have the range at all, as apparently within the promotional materials for this electric car during the winter, because I think the winter the cold will zap a battery pretty quickly. So this gentleman maintains that General Motors has sort of breached its warranties and has not. It has a manufacturing defect in the car, and there's several different counts within his lawsuit. But GM would like to have that dismissed as well, just like Pennington County Sheriff would.
John Hunter, would you like to weigh in on the winter in South Dakota and the future of electric cars here?
No, but I want to weigh in on being named or being added to lawsuits as the General Motors is being charged here. There was a few years ago, there was a manufacturer in Madison. They made road maintenance equipment, and they got a lawsuit served on them. They were named in this lawsuit for a mesothelioma case, which you know is asbestos. And they scratched their heads and said, we don't have asbestos in any of our products. So finally, they followed this thing through, and the plaintiff in this case said, yes, but one of your products was once shipped on a train, and the train had brakes on it that had asbestos in it. So they got named to the lawsuit of this. So I think this might be spinning out of control a little bit, where you name anything that is related to this. General Motors seems pretty clear in their case that said we made no promises. We said here's a range, and we gave you a disclaimer that said it might not work as well in cold. So I think they'll just have to have one of their lawyers deal with this.
Still plenty of electric cars driving around the state of South Dakota as well. And then a little bit on education in South Dakota and the changing face of the University Center, which John Hunter wrote about for the Madison Daily Leader. And, we don't really know the full direction that's heading to yet, John, do we?
No, and it's kind of an interesting time where education is changing rapidly in a lot of senses. You know, that our old traditional models of education have been upended, I think, by transportation, by the internet, by changing demands in the marketplace. And what we wrote about, of course, is the change in mission now of the what used to be called the University Center, formerly USDSU, and now going to become the Community College of Sioux Falls, and all its changes over the last couple of decades to adapt to new circumstances, to booming and falling economies, to different job types demand It's interesting, and you know, I think we're all probably in support of more education for all folks and make it easy and affordable. Not easy necessarily as far as coursework, but accessible and affordable. But the University Center might be right at the center of this, where they are the one who are being asked to change the most or deciding to change the most. We've lost some kind of community college, Killian, you know, what used to be called Colorado Technical Institute and Globe University have either gone online or gone away. And so they're going to, but this one has, you know, a real campus, and they want to adapt to whatever is needed. And as I understand, it'll now be kind of officially a college of USD, and USD will be responsible for its management, but still targeting people who live in Sioux Falls and adapting to the marketplace and the providing education for jobs that are needed.
Does it look like they're not going to be a four-year university at all? Can you get a four-year degree at the University Center? Do you know, John?
What I understand is that you still need to declare one of the partner universities as your enrolled college. Mm-hmm. So you'll still have to say, I'm a student of Dakota State University, or I'm a student of USD, as part of that. Remember, this is started as a partnership among those three institutions. SDSU is the third, where they would offer classes in Sioux Falls. And so, but again, you're enrolled at one of those colleges. So it is a little bit of a misnomer, I think, to call it a community college, because it isn't really in that sense, but it would offer two-year degrees, which are kind of associated with community colleges. But they will be two-year degrees of those partner universities. Hmm. So, but yes, you can take DSU classes on cybersecurity at Sioux Falls, and you'd need to take more classes in Madison to get your four-year degree, or if you wanted to be a nurse, you'd need to take some classes in Sioux Falls, others at one of the other campuses. So I think it's still in flux, frankly.
Right, yeah.
It's still morphing, and it's probably going to morph some more.
Right, and I hear a lot of students who are looking at getting their, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm going to start at the University Center and then figure it out, which is a whole other story about kids graduating and trying to make some of those really difficult big decisions.
Well, you bring up an excellent point. I think there was a time before all the interchangeability of credits and so forth where, yeah. You went to a school for 4 or 5 years and got a degree, and now, yeah, you can take an online class from Northern, and then you go to on campus at SDSU, and then you got on campus at Madison, and you put this thing together. You're not even sure where your diploma should come from at the end.
Right, which is another really good way for kids to fall through the cracks.
Indeed, yeah. The online thing, and it's becoming more acceptable. I'm not positive it's more effective. I think that there is a convenience factor to it, but I think there are many classes that are not, you don't have the same quality behind your home computer as you would if you were in class with a professor. So, but it's become more accepted that those are, in some senses, equal. So that's part of the reason these are changing so much, is the acceptability of online credits.
We will leave it there for today. John Hunter and Jonathan Ellis. John Hunter with the Madison Daily Leader, publisher. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lori.
And Jonathan Ellis, reporter, columnist, investigative reporter for the Argus Leader in Sioux Falls. Jonathan, thank you as well.
Thanks, Lori. Take care.